Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This will be a controversial show. We're going to be talking about whether it's safe to take and give our children vaccines. All over the news, we're hearing about how people are lined up all over the world who can't wait to take the new Pfizer or Moderna or whatever vaccine that's supposed to help protect people from the coronavirus or COVID-19. Only because this vaccine is so new and was developed so fast inside of just several months, and because it's a different type of vaccine than normal, I want to have on the other side of the aisle someone who says that not just the coronavirus vaccine is unsafe, but he says all vaccines are unsafe for people. Now, I don't know if I agree with that, but I'm willing to listen and maybe even learn. Our guest today is Greg Glaser. He's a vaccine rights attorney with a litigation and transactional law background. He's a graduate of UCLA and the University of San Francisco. As a lawyer, he's committed to protecting the fundamental right of informed consent and is devoted to helping doctors write medical exemptions to vaccination for people. Working with the Pandemic Response Project, Greg is the co-author of the Peaceful and Natural Dignity Act, or PANDA, a proposed law to protect against forced medication during pandemics and to promote a home-based quarantine solution under state law. Recently, Glaser filed scientific evidence in federal court in the Eastern District of California. Next month, he will be in court asking the judge to issue a court order protecting all Americans from mandatory vaccination. What does he hope to achieve with this case? A court order protecting Americans from mandatory vaccination and conducting a new nationwide vaxxed versus unvaxxed study with medical record audits. You'll hear from him on this show, giving data that, frankly, is hard to argue with since it's numbers, and numbers don't lie. But we'll let you listen and come to your own conclusion on the issue of vaccines and their safety. And make sure you discuss this with your own doctor or healthcare professional so you can come to an informed decision of what's best for you and your children.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to have on someone who says that not just the coronavirus vaccine is unsafe, but he says all vaccines are unsafe for people. Welcome to the show, Greg Glaser.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here.
You have said that you have come across firm evidence and that you have proven that vaccines are detrimental to people's health, in that I think it was 70% of the people who have been vaccinated wind up with some type of chronic disease. Is that true? And if so, tell us about that.
Yes, we have proven causation mathematically that vaccines are causing a pandemic, an epidemic of chronic illness in children and in adults. We have proven mathematically that vaccination is the worst healthcare choice that one can make in terms of the most common medical procedures. And the reason that we know this, the reason that we have proven it, is we have done a very simple but powerful survey of unvaccinated Americans. And we didn't just survey a small number. We surveyed a very large number of unvaccinated Americans. We surveyed 1,482. And this allowed us to compare the health of the unvaccinated to the health of the vaccinated nation. In America, 99.7% of all Americans have received at least one vaccine. And that means that in America, there are approximately 800,000 unvaccinated Americans. We surveyed a very large percentage of those, 1,482. And this means that we have done a very simple scientific survey. And the survey tells us that the unvaccinated are exponentially healthier, specifically 800%, in one case, 1,000% in another case. The point here is that the unvaccinated are living in the past. They are living healthy. It is, do you remember in the 1950s when everyone on your street was healthy? When you would go to school and there might be only one child with a special needs or ADHD and neurodevelopmental, maybe only one. You know, today it's every other child. Well, the unvaccinated are still living in the past. It's so hard to find an unvaccinated person with health issues. Even among the adults, we only found 5% of them have a health issue. Can you imagine that? Imagine living on your street. There's 100 people on your street and 95 of them are healthy adults. Can you imagine that, how amazing that is? And it's the same for children. It's even better for children. Only 2% of the unvaccinated have a health condition that when we factor in mothers who don't receive the pregnancy vaccination. So what I'm trying to say is that the solution is in the unvaccinated. Whatever the unvaccinated are doing, we all need to be doing.
So Greg, you know, I'm thinking back when I went to school and I'm thinking about the mid-60s, the mid to late 60s when I was in elementary school. And we did have, I did meet like, you know, one or two mentally retarded people. That's what we called them in those days. Today, we don't say that's not politically correct. And we had the quote unquote goof off in our class who was had ADHD, but it wasn't labeled that in those days. But he was like the one that can never sit down and always making problems and goofing off in class. But I also remember a friend of mine in my class who had polio. She had one leg that was thinner than the other leg and she would limp. And that was really a horrible badge to have to wear or a burden to have to bear when you're a little girl in school. And so where I can see that a lot of the vaccinations that we take could be very dangerous because of what they use in order to keep the virus from going bad. They use like aluminum, mercury, whatever they use in there. Those things are very poisonous, very bad. It could be that these vaccines themselves also are very dangerous. And I wouldn't argue with you on that. But on the other hand, there are some like the polio that I would definitely say, yes, do it because so many people suffer from it and we don't even see polio around anymore today. So what would you say to that?
Yes. Well, I think it's very important to talk about the exact number. For example, so many people, that's not a number. So let's talk about the exact numbers. In the 1930s, the mortality of polio was 2 deaths per 100,000. But then by the time you get to the 1950s, the mortality drops to only a fraction of 1%. We're talking about 0.2% per 100,000 people. That means that before the vaccine was even invented, polio mortality had gone away. Engineers, we solved this problem. Better diagnoses, better living conditions, et cetera. Basically, avoid getting fecal matter in your mouth and you can help avoid getting polio. It's really simple. Poliomyelitis is just, you know, although it can attack the central nervous system, it's not hard to treat. And so doctors help solve this issue. Now, the vaccine claimed all the credit. But when we look at the hard numbers and you look at the percent vaccinated, and I'm citing CDC numbers. When you look at the number of people vaccinated, for example, in 1955, less than 50% even took the polio vaccine at a time when the polio mortality was already floored out, meaning nobody was dying from polio. And so What I'm trying to say is that the vaccine took all the credit for helping people, but it wasn't the vaccine. It was the engineers. In the 1950s, we saw that. And you see this pattern repeated with everything, whether it's diphtheria or whether it is pertussis. It's always the same pattern. Engineers solved it, but the vaccines always claim the credit.
So would you call yourself an anti-vaxxer? Are you against every vaccine that has ever been given to man?
Because of mathematics, the way that the numbers present, there has never been a vaccine that has proven to be safe or effective.
And you're just going to leave it there.
Yes, I truly respect the human immune system, the natural immune system. I believe that we are designed in a beautiful way. We are designed to thrive. One of the best ways that I can answer the question tomorrow is to say, where is your immune system located?
Our immune system is everywhere in our body.
Exactly. And a vaccine is designed to change your immune system. It's designed to change your everywhere. So why inject a pharmaceutical product that is designed to alter your everything, your everywhere? It causes all sorts of conditions. It causes neurodevelopmental issues in your head, causes diabetes in your feet from head to toe. Vaccines affect your everywhere. And the data, the mathematics prove it. And the best way to prove it is with a vaxxed versus unvaxxed survey, because it's the father of epidemiology, John Snow, this guy in the 1800s, there were these cholera outbreaks and he wanted to find out what was causing cholera. So all he did, it was so simple. A kindergartner could do this. A five-year-old can understand this. All he did was he said, let's compare people drinking from well A to people drinking from well B. Everyone drinking from well A gets cholera. Nobody from well B gets cholera. That's causation. It's so simple. You can even ask a five-year-old, which well would you like to drink from, Sally? It's the same thing here. You show the vaccinated versus unvaccinated. The vaccinated have every single condition you can imagine. The unvaccinated are the healthiest people on the planet. Which one would you like to be, Sally? It's so easy.
So you said that vaccines cause diabetes. How?
Yes, we proved that vaccines cause diabetes. Well, first off, in our request for judicial notice, we show how diabetes is an immune-mediated condition, meaning that your immune system regulates the way that you interact with diabetes mellitus. And further, we show that when you compare vaccinated to unvaccinated Americans, again, we compared 1,482, okay? 10% of all Americans have diabetes. But in our control group of 1,482 people, we found 0%. So think about that. That means that you would have to flip it. So imagine you had to flip a coin 140 times. Okay. You have to flip a coin 140 times. That means you'd have to, every single time you flip it, it lands on heads. Do you know what the probability of that is? We calculated the probability. It's called a p-value. It's one in 64 with 68 zeros after it. That means you're more likely to get hit by lightning on the way to winning the lottery, and then you get hit by lightning on the way home, than for this to just be an accident. We have proven causation. Vaccines cause diabetes. We prove it with the government's own admissions, with the best, most authoritative evidence on the planet. And then we also prove it with our simple kindergarten example. Which well would you rather drink from, Sally? Would you like to drink from the well where 99% of the population is getting vaccinated and 10% have diabetes? Or would you rather drink from the well where 0% have diabetes? We found zero cases.
But could it be, I just want to play devil's advocate because you're on one side, I'm in the middle, but in order to make this fair, I want to try to answer all the questions other people would have. So I'm thinking that people who did not take the vaccine would be more likely people who are more into nature. They don't want these intervention things that they look at as being unhealthy. And if they're those types of people, they probably don't eat so many processed foods and junk foods and white sugar. And perhaps that's why they don't have diabetes.
Our expert witnesses cover that exact point. There has never been a study on diet or lifestyle that shows an over 1,000% increase in these conditions, not even close. You know, every now and then you can find a diet where it might change your, you know, like an Atkins diet or vegetarian diet, you know, that might change it a few percentage points, maybe even 50 percentage points, but not 1,000. 1,000 percentage points has never been accounted for in the scientific literature, which is why it's not the diet, it's not the exercise, it's the well, it's the cholera well, it's well A versus well B, it's the vaccines.
Okay, we're going to be going for a break right now. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with Greg Glaser.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back here with Greg Glaser, and he is a lawyer who fights for the rights of parents to be able to decide whether they want to give their children vaccines or not. And can you tell us, Greg, are there problems for people who don't want to go in and take their kids in for vaccines? Do they have to put up fights? Is it a law that they have to? How does it work where you are?
Yes. Different states in America have different rules. California is very strict about vaccination. So children are not allowed to go to school in California unless the child has been vaccinated. And the same situation exists in New York. And the exceptions are very, very strict, meaning that it's almost impossible to get an exception that's recognized by the government. And that trend of stricter and stricter laws, we're seeing affect the entire nation. And this, we're also seeing an encroachment as well when it comes to adult vaccination. With the COVID-19 vaccines, there is a big push right now to do the same thing that adults have been doing to children, forcing children to get vaccinated. Now the government's about to do it to adults, treating adults like children.
So, what has been your driving force? Why did you get into this?
Thank you for asking. Well, I came to the issue from a constitutional law perspective. I am a constitutional lawyer. And I realized very quickly that vaccination is the issue on which we win or lose our rights. It is the most invasive form. When the government injects you with something designed to change your everywhere, your immune system, that's a very invasive procedure. And it's also a procedure that one individual will force on another and happily and feel self-righteous about it, to forcefully inject another person with a pharmaceutical product and yet still feel self-righteous that they're doing the right thing. So it makes it very dangerous from a constitutional law perspective. I came to the issue also because vaccination affected my family. I wish that I could take back vaccinating my daughter. Thank goodness she recovered, but we got to see firsthand what a vaccine reaction looks like. And unfortunately, my nephew, he was vaccinated and now has epilepsy caused by the MMRV vaccine.
What exactly happened with your daughter?
Yes, well, we took her in. The first thing you know about vaccination as a parent is how strange it is. You go into the doctor's office and they instruct you to hold down your child. So you're physically holding down your child while the nurse is just grabbing random shots. You don't know what's being injected and just sticking the child with needles. And the child is just crying and it's a mess. It's, you know, your parental instinct is screaming at you. This isn't right. I shouldn't be doing this, but you're in this sort of authoritative environment. So that was my first wake up call. But it really wasn't even a wake-up call. I mean, I just assumed that vaccines were good. I'd never studied it. And then we're out in the hallway, and she's just blowing up, just red and crying, and clearly react. Like whatever just happened was not normal. She was just off the charts in terms of how red she was and swollen. And so we go right back to the desk and say, you know, she's not doing well. We don't know what's happening. And the person at the desk is like, oh no, it's fine. Just take her home. And you know, we didn't know. And you know, later on, I start researching it and find, oh my gosh, vaccine reactions are very underreported in society, not just in America, but all across the world. And you know, that got me researching how to detox from vaccine injuries, how to protect yourself from infectious disease if you're unvaccinated, and so forth. But yeah, it's, you know, in this case, we did a survey of unvaccinated Americans. I couldn't even enroll my own child because it is difficult to find in unvaccinated Americans. They are relatively rare.
So where did
also,
she go to...
we had a problem in our survey, which was how many people thought that unvaccinated meant partially vaccinated, which is Big Pharma's pitch line. They tell people that if you're only partially vaccinated, you're unvaccinated. So we were getting all sorts of completed surveys from people who thought they were unvaccinated, but they're not. And they were talking about their vaccine record. So they obviously did not qualify for the survey. Only 1,482 people qualified for the survey
so
we did.
How do you walk back a vaccine?
Great question. So a vaccine is designed to permanently affect your immune system, but it does have what's called a waning effect, or they call it waning immunity. And so over time, your cells will replace your cells replace each other, meaning that you have basically after 7 years, you have an entirely new body. And so the best solution is time. Just allow your body to naturally regenerate. But the immune system is this integrated system that's constantly building on the past, on what happened in the past. So some people have a hard time ever getting out of the vaccine reaction cycle. And a vaccine has a long-term impact. It is, vaccination is literally designed to stay with you for years, for decades. It is literally designed to permanently alter your immune system. And that's exactly what it does. It is a trade-off. You trade your natural God-given immunity for a pharmacological immunity.
But doesn't it work that they give you like a dead virus or a weakened virus? So your body is very strong, and then your body can build up the antibodies it needs, and then finished, you've got the antibodies without getting very, very sick. Am I wrong? And if I'm not, then please explain.
Thank you for asking. That's a great question. Yes. Yeah. The answer is that many vaccines will include a dead virus rather than a live virus, or an antigen, we say. And the problem is that the way vaccines are manufactured, by the way, they're manufactured in communist China, just so you know, the way that they're manufactured is that it's not just the virus that they put into the vial, into the vaccine. They also put other things like neurotoxins, such as aluminum and formaldehyde. And that, and the reason they do that is because they found that if they just inject you with the virus, then your natural immunity takes over and you fight it off, but the vaccine doesn't work. They say it doesn't build the antibodies necessary to justify immunity. And so the way that pharmaceutical manufacturers work is they live and breathe on antibodies. Everything that they do is meant to produce antibodies. And the more aluminum that they inject into you, the more that your body reacts. It's sort of like a punch in the face. You know, if somebody flicks your ear, that's just like injecting you with the virus. But if somebody punches you in the face, it's like injecting you with the virus and adding the aluminum, the formaldehyde, et cetera, into the vaccine. Those are called adjuvants. And over time, the pharmaceutical companies have increased the amount of adjuvants. So it's gotten to the point where even though we still call it a vaccine, the vaccines today, they don't look anything like the vaccines from 40 years ago. Meaning that if you think that you're, you know, if you think you're really tough because you got vaccinated, try to take on the children's vaccine schedule today and the current vaccines. It is scandalously dangerous. And that's what our data shows. The unvaccinated children are the healthiest people. The vaccinated every other one, flip a coin with your child's health. You get, they're either healthy or unhealthy. And the vaccinated group, just it's like 50%. Compare the unvaccinated. It's only 2%. That means you don't have to flip a coin. You just have to guess in the number, you know, pick a number between 1 and 50 right now. Go ahead.
37.
Nope. I was going for 14. But now pick a number between, so that's the unvaccinated group. Now pick a number between 1 and 2.
Between 1 and 2?
Yeah.
1.
I also chose 1. You just had a vaccinated child. That's the numbers. And so in my case, I always bring it back to the numbers. My job is to completely get away from slogans. Oh, it's safe, it's effective, or it's rare. Those are not numbers. Those have literally no meaning. Everything always has to come back to a specific numerical risk value. I will tell you the exact risk of being vaccinated. It's all in my charts.
The aluminum that they put in or other material that they put in, I understand that that's only for shelf life, that the vaccine should be good to be able to last longer to give out to people.
No. The aluminum is an adjuvant designed to stoke the immune system. What they found is that originally they didn't give aluminum. And they didn't put aluminum in the vaccine because they didn't know its effect. And they found that when they put it in, it primed the immune system, meaning that aluminum is so offensive to the body, your body reacts so much that immediately when the body gets injected with this substance, which is a neurotoxin, it's like the body goes, ah, what is this thing? And it attacks. And so a lot of people will get like a shoulder injury, they'll swell up right at the site. Whereas if a foreign substance is injected into the tissue, then it doesn't produce the same immediate reaction. They're looking for that immediate reaction.
This is quite fascinating. We have to go to a break again, but when we get back, I'm going to be asking you about the new vaccines that are coming out against the coronavirus and what you think about that. And don't go anywhere, everybody. We're speaking again with Greg Glaser. And he is a vaccine rights attorney with a litigation and transactional law background. And he's here talking to us about fighting for parents' rights in order to not vaccinate their children. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and our guest is Greg Glaser. He's a vaccine rights attorney, and he's talking to us about the dangers of vaccination. Again, I want to remind everybody that you need to speak with your own doctor, your own healthcare professional, what to do. I am not a doctor. Our guest is not a doctor. You should all read up on it, though, as well, because doctors are taught one way, and they're taught to vaccinate. So read up on your own, do your own research, and speak with your doctor, and then come to your own conclusion. All right, so getting that out of the way, Greg, I wanted to ask you about now the COVID-19 vaccine. My mother always taught me to try to never take a drug unless it's been on the market for at least 20 years, because we don't know what the side effects are or the long-term damage a drug can do. In fact, when she was pregnant with me, I believe, her doctor was telling her to take a drug that was going to take away her nausea. And in the end, she didn't do it. But other women after that had deformed babies, or their daughters grew up and then couldn't conceive. So we have to be very careful what we're putting in our bodies. And here we have a vaccine that was designed and created in less than a year. And not only that, but it's a totally different type of vaccine that some people are claiming changes your DNA. I don't know if that's true or not, but still, it's something very concerning. And I can tell you a lot of people that I'm in touch with are just thrilled about this and can't wait to get the COVID vaccine, because they think that they're going to be Superman after this, and they're going to be able to fly wherever they want to and go wherever they want to and have a green passport, and they won't have to worry about that dreadful, scary coronavirus. What do you have to say about the vaccine?
Thank you for asking. That's a very good summary. The vaccine, the COVID vaccine, is a nucleic acid vaccine. It's an mRNA vaccine, which means that it is designed to turn your body, turn your cells into vaccine manufacturers. So the normal vaccine, like an MMR vaccine, that's an adjuvanted vaccine. It means that they put aluminum in it to stoke your body's immune system so that your body will react, which is different than the current COVID vaccine. COVID vaccine is a DNA vaccine or an RNA vaccine, meaning that your body will take a snippet of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and it will learn to detect it. And so the way it does this is that inside of your cell, you have an epigenetic response where your cell will produce the necessary reaction whenever it interacts with that snippet of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And so that means that your cells will go on to produce this reaction, this epigenetic reaction. And so in that sense, yes, it does change your DNA. But it really changes, it's your DNA's response to the environment is what's happening. But it's exactly what you said. It is this untested product from a pharmaceutical company. And yeah, it was produced in less than a year. I mean, this is a warp speed vaccine, and that means it's experimental. And so we're already seeing a very high number of adverse reactions. I don't like to use that phrase, very high number, because it's not a number, but that's the thing. Here I have to, because I don't know the exact numbers, because is preliminary data. It's just coming out. With every other vaccine, I will give you the exact numbers, the exact risk values. I can't do that with COVID-19 because it's untested. But what I can do is I can tell you that the only way we're going to know the exact risk of this vaccine is with a vaccinated versus unvaccinated survey. Again, we go right back to our kindergarten math. Would you rather drink from well A or well B? Sometimes the simple things are the most elegant, the most beautiful, and the most true of all. And that's the case here. So in my case, we present the scientific evidence that the scientific method requires a control group. That's just a fact. And we prove that for every vaccine ever, there has never been a control group. I checked everything. I looked at every single FDA approved document where they Even some, Tamar, where they claimed they were using a control group. For example, Gardasil, the HPV vaccine. The manufacturer said, oh yeah, we used a control group for one of our clinical trials. Well, I didn't just stop at the product insert. I looked at the documents that go into the product insert, the 300-page application. And there, they lied. They said that they used a control group, but in reality, they compared girls who received 3 Gardasils with girls who received 4 Gardasils. That's not a control group. That is a joke. And that's what the pharmaceutical companies do. And they're going to do the same thing here with COVID-19. They will compare fully vaccinated people to other individuals who are fully vaccinated and then claim that COVID-19 is safe. They also have other, they're going to do the same thing, by the way, with polio. They did is with polio, they recap, once the vaccine was introduced, the system redefined what polio is. And then they started calling all these children who were injured by the polio vaccine, they call that non-polio related paralysis. It was just a total scandal that got buried under the rug. They're going to do the same thing here with COVID-19. We're already seeing it. As you know, the PCR test to diagnose COVID-19 is used. But the way the PCR test works is that if you turn the dial to the left, then you have zero cases of COVID-19. If you turn the dial to the right when doing testing, you increase your cycles, everyone has COVID-19. So if you're a laboratory, all you have to do is turn the dial in the testing one way or turn the dial the other way, and you can either eradicate the disease or prove everyone has it. So it's arbitrary. It's the scientific, and the experts are already calling this out. There's actually going to be a court hearing today about it in New York. And it's a great scandal. A court in Portugal already ruled that this PCR test is unreliable. The point here I'm making is that when public health officers have all these powers, and they can just say, oh yeah, everyone has it, or no one has it, so the vaccine worked, it becomes this arbitrary and dangerous situation. And you highlighted in your good question, Tamar, about passports, people needing a passport in order to access, to live their life, whether they want to travel, whether they want to go to work, whether they want to go to school. The idea that a vaccination is the requirement for you to live your life, that's a problem, because a vaccination is a patented biotechnology. And if we require people to inject themselves with patented biotechnology before they can live their life, then we have a serious constitutional problem.
We only have 2 minutes left. And I want to ask you, as someone who's done so much research on vaccinations, has the statistics to prove your point. You said that you can prove, again, I want you to repeat it in one sentence. You can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that vaccinated people are more likely to be developing chronic diseases than people who are not vaccinated. Just say that one line again.
That is correct. We have proven with court documents that the unvaccinated are over 1,000% healthier than the vaccinated. And we've proven it from multiple categories: for chronic illness, autoimmune diseases, diabetes, neurodevelopmental disorders, anything you can look at. We've also proven mathematically in our court documents that the CDC vaccine schedule is very highly correlated to the increase in chronic diseases. We calculate this with a Pearson correlation coefficient that shows a 0.99% match between the vaccine schedule and the increase in chronic illnesses. So let me give an example of what that means. That means that we have proven that if there were 100 people and they're all drinking, and so let's say you have 100 people drinking from well A, and 100 people drinking from well B. That means that if 99% of the people drinking from well A get a chronic illness, then that would, most normal people would say, oh, well A causes chronic illness if well B has only 2% of people getting a chronic illness. You'd say there's something in that well, because these are the same people. They live in the same area. It's something about the well. That's basic epidemiology. As much as the pharmaceutical companies try to hide it, they try to say, oh no, we're not supposed to compare the two wells. We got to look at other factors, like let's look at people's race or gender or income inequality or any of these things. But it's ultimately about the vaccines.
So very briefly, what are parents and other people that don't want to get vaccine themselves or don't want their children getting a vaccine, what are they to do? How are they able to get along with not vaccinating their children?
Well, this is our time to restore our constitutional rights. This is our time to respect the unvaccinated. We respect the unvaccinated for multiple reasons: because they're healthier, because they have the secret to health. They also respect science. The only way to do a control group, the only way to do the scientific method is to have the unvaccinated, to respect them. And so what the unvaccinated are doing and the partially vaccinated are doing are supporting their local health freedom groups, getting integrated, and continuing to share this scientific research, which is proving that vaccines are causing a worldwide pandemic, chronic illness. Problem's not COVID, it's chronic illness.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Very interesting what you had to say. And people, if they want to go to your website, where can they go?
Yes, thank you. They can go to informedconsentdefense.org.
Informedconsentdefense.org. Thank you so much, Greg Glaser.
Thank you.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.